now. So we're on Dalet Amud Aleph, right towards the bottom. So the Gemara now is going to raise a number of questions regarding a person who rents or leases a house on Erev Pesach or right beforehand. So the Gemara says, "Bo minei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, hamaskir bayis lachaveru ba'arba asar, al mi livdok, al hamaskir livdok, dachamira didehu, o dilma al hasocher livdok, di isura birshu seikai." The Gemara raises the following question. Let's say I lease a house to you on Erev Pesach. The question is, whose responsibility is it to perform bedikas chametz? Is it the responsibility of the maskir, of the one who is leasing the house out, or is it the responsibility of the socher, the in other words, the lessee, the one who's leasing the house? What would be the logic to say either one? So the logic to say that it's upon the maskir to do the bedikas because the chametz belongs to him after all. On the other hand, the chametz is physically now in the possession of the socher, so perhaps it should be his obligation. So what's the answer? So the Gemara says, Tashma, hamaskir bayis lachaveru, al hasocher lasos lo mezuzah. So the Gemara wants to answer this question by comparing this to Hilchos Mezuzah. Let's say I lease a house from you. So the Gemara says unequivocally, it is the responsibility of the socher, of the one who is leasing the house, to put up a mezuzah. So the Gemara says, so presumably, just as it's the socher's obligation to put up a mezuzah, one would imagine the same standard should apply for bedikas chametz. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a good comparison. The Gemara says, hasam ha'amar rav misharshia mezuzah chovas hadarhi. The Gemara says that really one could contrast the case of mezuzah to bedikas chametz, because when it comes to mezuzah, there's a unique obligation that a mezuzah is what's called a chovas hadar. It's an obligation specifically on the person living there. For example, let's say I own a house, but I don't live there, or I only live there part of the year. So technically, I don't need to put up a mezuzah if I'm not living in the house. Just because you own a house doesn't necessarily mean you have to put up a mezuzah. Mezuzah is a function of the person living there. So the standards of mezuzah differ greatly from bedikas chametz. So just because it's the socher's obligation to put up a mezuzah, that doesn't necessarily shed any light on who should be doing bedikas chametz. So the Gemara says, Amar lehu Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Tanina, hamaskir bayis lachaveru, im ad shalom maser lo maftechos chol arba asar al hamaskir livdok, the im misha maser lo maftechos chol arba asar al hasocher livdok. So the Gemara makes the following distinction. The Gemara says that whether it's the maskir or socher's obligation to do bedika will really depend on what happened prior to the 14th of Nisan. Namely, if the maskir handed over the keys to the house to the socher prior to the 14th of Nisan, then it's the socher's obligation to do bedika. If he did not hand the keys over before the 14th of Nisan, then it's the maskir. Now, why exactly is what's the significance of handing over the keys? So the Rishonim discuss exactly what this means. Maybe handing over the keys is symbolic of the fact that a kinyan was made, and now the socher is considered to be the owner of the house for all intents and purposes for this time period. Maybe the actual handing of the keys itself is a kinyan. So again, there's somewhat of a debate in the Rishonim what exactly the significance of this is. But the point is that if this kind of a transaction of handing the keys over took place before Erev Pesach, then it's the socher's obligation. If the keys were only handed over on the 14th of Nisan itself, then the assumption is that it's upon the maskir to do the bedika. Okay.
Rabbi, yeah. We're talking in the 14th at night. Correct.
At night or even the next day, theoretically, meaning once, in other words, after the zman of bedikas chametz sets in, right? So, in other words, any point after, in other words, if the keys were handed over on the 12th of Nisan, then it's obviously going to be the socher.
If the keys were handed over the 14th in the morning, wouldn't you think it's the house he would have done that at night.
That's exactly the point. In other words, if the keys were handed over at any point on the 14th of Nisan, the assumption has to be that the maskir already did the bedika. And again, the Gemara is going to flush this out a little bit more right now, as we'll see. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Bo minei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, hamaskir bayis lachaveru ba'arba asar, cheskaso baduk, o ein cheskaso baduk." So kind of along the same lines. Again, I'm leasing a house from you, and again, I start the lease on Erev Pesach. The question is, can I assume that you already did the bedika? So this question is really from the socher's perspective. I walk into the house, it's Erev Pesach, do I now need to spend the next 3 hours looking for chametz, or can I assume that you already did the bedika? So the Gemara says, L'may nafkamina, li shayle. The Gemara says, what kind of a question is this? Just ask the maskir, just ask him whether or not he did bedika, and then you'll figure it out. So the Gemara says, no, delay se lahai deli shayule, la'atruche lahai mai. The Gemara says, let's say the Maskir is no longer here. Now, again, Bazman Azeh, this is not, again, in theory, if the Maskir already, you know, is flying to Israel and Yontif already started there and whatever, and you can't reach him, I guess, you know, that would be the practical application of this case. But back then, if the Maskir, you know, skipped town, if he left already, there was really no way you could possibly reach him. So let's say the Maskir is gone, he left already. So you have no idea. There's no way for you to contact him. So the question is, do I now need to get on my hands and knees and spend the next couple of hours doing bedika, or can I assume that he already did the bedika? That's the Gemara Shaila. So the Gemara explains, Amar lehu Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Tinisua, hakol ne'manim al bir chamit, afilu nashim, afilu bavadim, afilu ktanim, my taima. So I'm sorry. So the Gemara starts up by quoting a braisa that says that everyone has credibility when it comes to bedikas chamit, meaning, again, this is the simple explanation of the Gemara. If you were to ask anyone whether Bedikas Chametz was done on the house, no matter who it was that was giving you that information, you could believe them, whether they're women, whether they're Avadim, whether they're under Bar Bas Mitzvah. Now, normally, Nashim, Avadim, and Ketanim typically don't have credibility in the realm of Eidus, right? Again, with a couple of exceptions, but generally speaking, if for example, if a woman walks into Bezin, or even if two women walk into Bezin and say, Ruvain murdered Shimon, we don't listen to them, right? They don't have credibility in the realm of, or if two 10-year-olds say that, we don't believe them. So the Gemara says, but here, when it comes to Bedikas Chametz, we do. What's the logic? My taima mehemne. Why do we give them credibility? So the Gemara says, Lav mishum dechezkaso baduk, dekasavar hakol chavir mehemetzo Bedikas Chametz, desanya chavir shemes, vihiniach megura melea peros, afilu hein b'nei yoman, harei hein becheskas misukanim. The Gemara says, presumably, the reason why these people, the Nashim, Avadim, and Ketanim, have credibility for Bedikas Chametz is because anyway, The initial presumption is that Bedika was already done on the house to begin with. They're not really giving us any new information. We're not really relying on their testimony to any real degree. We already assume that Bedika was already done. Now, why are we assuming that, you know, that Bedika was already done? Why are we assuming that these people have credibility for Bedikas Chametz? So the Gemara quotes a brisa that parallels this idea when it comes to the realm of Trumos and Maaser. So for example, we know that certain people have more credibility in terms of claiming that they separated Trumos and Maisers from their produce. That's what we call Chaverim. If a person is a Chaver, the assumption is that they have Ne'emanus, they have credibility that yes, they indeed took off Trumos and Maisers. Now the Gemara quotes a rather extreme case. Let's say a person was considered to be a Chaver, and he got a new batch of produce that day, and the person died on the same day. The Gemara says that we lend that person so much credibility that we assume that even though he got the produce on the day that he died, he probably did separate Maisers from that produce anyway. So the Gemara says, just as when it comes to separating maestros, the assumption is that he almost certainly did separate maestros from the produce, we can assume in the realm of Bedikas Chametz that these people, Nashim, Avadim, and Ketanim, also have credibility. So the Gemara says, well, hang on one second. Umimai, Dilma, Shaini, Hacha, Mishum, Dekaamre, Hane. The Gemara says, well, maybe the case of separating maestros from your produce and the case of whether or not these people have credibility in terms of Bedikas Chametz, perhaps these are not the same thing, because maybe the only reason why we can rely on the Nashim, Avadim, and Ketanim when they tell us that Bedikas Chametz was done was because they actually verbalized the fact that Bedikas Chametz was done, implying that if they didn't say anything, maybe we cannot rely on them. Maybe we cannot assume that Bedika was done unless they explicitly told us otherwise. So the Gemara says, but the Gemara rejects that. The Gemara says, Atu Amira Dahane Mini Meshasha Isbei. The Gemara says, but again, as we mentioned before, typically Nashim, Avadim, and Ketanim don't have Ne'emanus, don't have credibility in the realm of Eidah. So why by Bedikas Chametz would we all of a sudden start relying on what they're saying? So the Gemara says, you're right. Elamai dicheskas obaduk. Hai hakol nemanim kol habatim becheskas bedukin ba'arba'asar mibayle. Then the Gemara says, if you're going to argue that in other words, that maybe the reason why we can assume that Bedika was done is not because, it's not a function of the fact that the Nashim, Avadim, or Ketanim are telling that to us, because again, they don't normally have credibility in a court, but maybe it's just because we just automatically assume that Bedika was done on a house before the 14th of Nisan. Maybe that's why we can rely on what they're telling us. The problem is, says the Gemara, that if that's the case, then this Gemara, then the Mishnah, doesn't read straight textually, because what the Mishnah says, what the Braisa says is, Hakol ne'emanim, everyone has credibility when it comes to Bedikas Chametz. But if you're going to make the argument that it's not a function of the Nashim Avadim Uktanim's credibility, but rather it's simply because we assume all houses that, you know, we assume Bedika was done on all houses prior to the or on the 14th of Nisan, then what the Gemara really should have said is that all houses have a presumption that Bedika was done on the 14th. It's not a function of the Nashim Avadim the Muktanim telling that to us, because again, they don't have credibility in terms of that, but rather the Gemara should have said that the reason why we can assume Bedika was done is because we just assume all houses, that when it comes to all houses, Bedika was done on the 14th. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elamai mishum amira dahane, halo amre hane, lo. So the Gemara says, presumably then, the only reason why we can assume that Bedika was done is not because we just assume that, you know, when it comes to all houses, Bedika was done, but rather it's because these people, the Nashim Avadim Tanim, told us that Bedika was done, implying that if they did not say anything to us, we would in fact be required to do Bedika. So the Gemara says, Tifsho mine de'ein cheskas obadik. That would lead us to believe that barring them telling us explicitly that Bedika was done, we have to assume that Bedika was not done on these houses, and we would have to go in fact and do the Bedika on our own. So the Gemara says, no, that's also not true. Lo'ola me'malacha cheskas obadik. Really, you can argue that all houses have this presumptive status that Bedika has come, it was in fact done. Let's say it's a case where you know for a fact that Bedika wasn't done beforehand, but these people, these Nashim of other Muktanim, are telling you that no, we did the Bedika. Now again, this is a little bit different. They're not testifying that someone else did Bedika, because in that case, as we mentioned earlier, they might not have credibility. They're saying we did the Bedika ourselves. So when the Gemara says that actually works. Now, why would I have thought that it doesn't work? Because Ma'u Desema Lo lehem ninu rabbanan kamash malan kevan de bedikas chametz mid rabbanan hu de mid oraisa bevitul ba'al masanile hem nuhu rabbanan bid rabbanan. The Gemara says that even though normally, as we mentioned already a few times, nashim avadim ketanim don't typically have credibility, but because the entire institution of bedikas chametz itself is only a din de rabbanan, why is it only a din de rabbanan? Because mid oraisa one can suffice by simply doing bitul, by simply nullifying the chametz without physically having to search for it. Therefore, the institution of Bedika post-Bittul is only a din d'rabbanan. So even though typically Nashim Avadim Ketanim do not have credibility in general, but because the whole institution of Bedikas Chametz post-Bittul is only mid-rabbanan, therefore, we in those cases, Chazal granted them credibility. So that's what the Gemara's answer is. The Gemara's answer, the bottom line in the Gemara is that we do believe the Nashim Avadim Ketanim to tell us Bedika was done, and even though normally we don't grant them credibility, but because this happens to be a din d'rabbanan, assuming that Bittul was none, therefore we can in fact believe them in this case. Okay.
Yeah. So, Rabbi, I go to a hotel in Israel. I'm not talking some hotel here with part of this, you know, kosher Pesach. I go to a hotel in Israel where the whole hotel is kosher Pesach. You know, they say they clean the rooms. I mean, I don't know that they did an official bedikah with a bracha and stuff.
Okay, yeah, but that doesn't make a difference. If they're telling you, meaning, right. So the question becomes, did they do a bedika? At the end of the day, you know, I think hotels might be a little bit different in this regard, because hotel rooms, I imagine, are cleaned relatively often. They're probably cleaned daily, I imagine, or almost daily, right? So the assumption is, again, you know, for example, we mentioned this back on the first day of Pesachim, that if you have a room where you know there was never chametz ever brought in there, so then you're not chayav to do bedika there. So I feel like a hotel room might be the halachic equivalent of that, because even if there was chametz in the room gets cleaned every single day. So it's highly improbable that there's going to be chametz lying around there for days on end. So I would imagine that there's no chiyuv to do bedika on a hotel room. Again, if you're renting an apartment or whatever, yeah. What was that?
I was about to say.
What was that? What was that?
To
do bedika, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'm saying you could do bedika as a formality, meaning because at the end of the day there is a mitzvah to do bedikas chametz, and if you get to the hotel before the 14th of Nisan, then maybe you should. But I think at the end of the day you're not. It's unlikely that you're going to find anything. Now again, that at the end of the day that doesn't make a difference either, because even if you don't find anything, there may still be a mitzvah to do bedikas chametz anyway.
It's usually worse. I asked my grandchildren to put the chametz out.
Yeah, so that's another issue. Yeah. We're going to talk about that next week about what happens if you put out 9 pieces of chametz and then if you put out 10 but only found 9. So we're going to get to that hopefully next week. We'll talk about that. Okay, so the Gemara now has another question. The Gemara wants to know the following: I lease a house from you on Erev Pesach, assuming that Bedika was already done, because you know that as we mentioned that seems to be a valid assumption. And then I walk into the house and I see chametz all over the place. The question is that a mekach tos? Was the transaction, was the fact that I leased that house from you on, on, the presumption that Bedikah was done, and it turns out that it was not, is that considered grounds to undo the entire transaction? So the Gemara says, Tashma, to Amar Abaye, lo mi boya ba'asra de lo yahave agra ubadku de nechole le'inish le'kiyume mitzah begufe, ela afilu ba'asra de yahave agra ubadku de nechole le'inish le'kiyume mitzah b'mamone. The Gemara says that certainly, if you live in a place where the minhag is not to hire people to do Bedikah for you, but rather everyone does their own Bedikas Chametz, then certainly you have no taina against the masker. Why not? Because the Gemara says that people like to do mitzvos themselves. So even though it may be slightly more inconvenient, you're going to spend the next couple of hours doing Bedikah, but okay, at least you're getting a mitzvah for it, so people are okay with that. But the Gemara says not only that, even if you live in a place where you have to hire someone to do Bedikah, you live in a place where, you know, everyone, no one does Bedikah on their own, everyone goes and hires someone to do Bedikah, it's going to cost you, cost you a few dollars to do that, the Gemara says that's still not grounds to undo the transaction. Why? Because the Gemara says that people like to do mitzvahs with their money. So at the end of the day, even though it's going to cost you a few dollars to do the, you know, to hire someone to do the bedikah, it's still not grounds to overturn the transaction. Now, whether you can go back to the masker and demand that he compensate you for the money you had to dish out for the bedikah, that's a machlokas in the Rishonim, whether you can do that. Okay. Now the Gemara says Tanan Hasam. We have a mission a little bit later on. Rabbi Meir Omer, Ochlin Kol Chamesh Vesorfin Beschila Sheish. Rabbi Huda Omer, Ochlin Kol Arba Vesolin Kol Chamesh Vesorfin Beschila Sheish. The Chule Almamil Chametz Misheisho Sulamala Asher Mendalan. So again, there's a technical machlokas, which we'll hopefully talk a lot more about next week, between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda regarding at what stages in the morning hours of Erev Pesach does Chametz become Asher to eat, does Chametz become Asher to benefit from. But everyone seems to agree that Mid Oraisa, Chametz becomes Asher to eat at the end of the sixth hour, at Chatzos. Now again, You know, practically we already start stopping coming, you know, after the fourth hour, but again, we'll talk about those details next week. But the question the Gemara is now going to address, really all the way to the top of Hamad Beis, is how do we know that Chametz is Asher Mid Oraisa starting at the end of the sixth hour? So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Trei Krai Ksiv. We have two psukim. Ksiv Shiv Asyamim Seor Lo Yimatze Bevatechem, Uchsev Ach Bayom Harishon Tashvisu Seor Mi Batechem HaKetzad. So we seem to have a contradiction between two psukim. One pasuk tells us in Parshas Bo, again, these are both in Parshas Bo, one pasuk says, you're not allowed to eat leaven or yeast for the 7 days of Pesach. In other words, I'm sorry, you can't have yeast or leaven present in your house for the 7 days of Pesach. And then you have another person that says, Ach bayom harishon, how on the first day you have to get rid of the chametz. So the implication is that the chiyuv to get rid of the chametz is on the first day of Pesach, which of course we know that's not true. We do it on Erev Pesach. So what does that pasuk mean? So the Gemara says, L'rabos arba'a aser levir. That pasuk that says, Ach bayom harishon, is actually referring to Erev Pesach and not to Pesach, and not to the first day of Pesach. So the Gemara asks, Ve'ema l'rabos leili chamisha asar levir, desal kadaita chamina yamim ksiv yamim in leilos lo, kamash melon afilu leilos. The Gemara says, but hang on a second, maybe one could have argued that that pasuk of ach bayom harishon is teaching me the following idea. One might have argued that perhaps the chiyuv of owning chametz only begins on the morning of the 15th of Nisan. Why would I have thought such a thing? Because the pasuk says, shiv as yamim. So one might have argued that maybe Yamim, but not Leilos. Maybe there is no Isser to own Chametz on the night of the 15th, and therefore perhaps the Chiyuv of Bedikas Chametz is really on the night of the 15th, the first night of Pesach, because maybe the Isser to own Chametz only begins the following morning. The Gemara says, no, that's not a legitimate Hava Amina. The Gemara says, no. Hahu lo et shtrichale, doha iskash hashbasas seor la'achilas Chametz, va'achilas Chametz la'achilas Matzah. The Gemara explains that there's a three-way hekesh, a three-way kind of a derivation or comparison between the mitzvah to get rid of your yeast, the isser or chametz, the isser of eating chametz, and the mitzvah of eating matzah. So the Gemara explains: Hashpasa seor la achilas chametz tichsev shiv as yamim seor lo yimatzei bevatechem ki kol ochel machmetzes v'nichrasa. So first of all, the pasuk tells us in Parshas Bo that there's an isser to have chametz in your house for the 7 days of Pesach, and if a person goes and eats chametz, they're going to be chayiv kares. The achilas chametz, the achilas matzah tichsev kol machmetzes lo sochelu b'chol moshevosechem tochelu. So we have a comparison between the isser of eating chametz and the mitzvah to eat matzah. Uchsiv bebe matzah ba'erev tochlu matzah. And we know, of course, that the mitzvah of achilas matzah mid'oraisa begins, or is really exclusively, on the first night of Pesach. So the Gemara says, okay, the ema l'rabos leil yodal levir. So now the Gemara says, fine. So we've established that the chiyuv, that the mitzvah of bedikas chametz cannot begin on the night of the first. In other words, on the first night of Pesach, it has to be. It has to be. You know. It has to be the day before. But the question is, why don't I also have to destroy my chametz on the night of the 14th? Because we know that we don't do bir chametz until the following morning, until the morning of Erev Pesach. Why can't one suggest that maybe bir chametz should be done also the same night that you do the bedikah? So the Gemara says, no, it's not true, because bayom ksiv, because the pasuk specifies shivas yamim. It says, it says bayom. So because it says bayom, the implication is that you only get rid of the chametz by, in other words, the following morning. So the Gemara says, okay, the ima mitzafra. But the question is, how do you know when in the morning you get rid of that chametz? Maybe you have to get rid of the chametz first thing in the morning, right after sunrise. How do you know that you're allowed to eat the chametz midoraisa at least until the end of the sixth hour? So the Gemara says, no, ach chilek, because you have the word ach bayom harishon. The word ach is dividing the day in half. Namely, the first half of the morning chametz midoraisa is mutter to eat. It's only after chatzos that chametz becomes usher to eat midoraisa. Then the Gemara says, devei Rabbi Yishmael Tana, matzinu yudalid shenikra rishon, shenemar barishon ba'arba'as or yom ha'chodesh. So now Rabbi Yishmael claims that we actually find a precedent that Erev Pesach is referred to as Rishon. Because again, the reason why the Gemara got into this whole discussion about finding a source that chametz is Asur Midoraisa after the sixth hour was simply because the Pasuk says Rishon, and we assume that meant the first day of Pesach. But the truth is that we find another Pasuk in Parshas Bo that refers to Erev Pesach as Rishon. So it's not so crazy to suggest that Rishon is actually referring to Erev Pesach. Then the Gemara says, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Rishon de Meikara Mashma de Amar Kra HaRishon Adam Tiva. Rav Nachman cites a pasuk from Eov to prove that the word Rishon doesn't mean necessarily the first, but rather it means beforehand. In other words, was any being created before man? So in other words, Rishon here means before. So before Pesach is obviously going to refer to Erev Pesach. So then the Gemara says, okay, but Elameat, if that's the case, Ulekachtem lachem bayom Rishon, hachanami Rishon demei karamashma. If you're going to argue that the word Rishon means before, in this case referring to Erev Pesach, what about the pasuk in Parshas Emor that refers to the mitzvah of Dalet Minim on Rishon, on the first day of Sukkot? So if you're going to tell me that Rishon means the day before, so then that would sound like there's a mitzvah to take Dalet Minim on Erev Sukkot, which we know is ridiculous. We know there is no mitzvah to take Dalet Minim on Erev Sukkot. So the Gemara says, you're right. Shaini hasam dichsiv usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem shiv'as yomim ma shvi'i shvi'i l'chag af Rishon l'chag. The Gemara says, no, there's a special pasuk in the context of Sukkot, because the pasuk says that you have to rejoice in front of Hashem for 7 days. Just as the seventh day means day seven from day one, in other words, Hoshana Rabbah, basically, so to day one refers to day one of Sukkot and not Erev Sukkot. So the Gemara says, okay, but Hachanami Ksiv Ach Bayom HaRishon Tashbisu Shiv Asya Mim Matzos Tochelu. But we have, again, a similar kind of a juxtaposition when it comes to Pesach, because it says, get rid of the Chametz on Rishon, which we just interpreted to mean Erev Pesach, and then it says you have to eat Matzah for 7 days. So Im Kain, Nich had the pasuk meant to tell you that there was a mitzvah to get that the chiyuv of getting rid of your chametz was really on the first night of Pesach, not Erev Pesach, the pasuk should have said ach bayom rishon. But in other words, what the pasuk actually says is ach bayom harishon. So the extra hey in harishon teaches me that it's the day beforehand that it refers to Erev Pesach. So the Gemara says, okay, ihachi, if that's the case, hasam nami harishon lamali. So the Gemara says, well, why then does the pasuk by Sukkot say Harishon, which again would imply that the mitzvah of Dal and Minim really is an Erev Sukkot, which again we know is not true. V'su hasam dechsev bayom Harishon Shabbasonu vayom Hashemini Shabbasonu emar Rishon demei karamashma. The Gemara has a similar type of question regarding the Isser Malacha on Sukkot, because when the Torah is referring to the Isser Malacha of Sukkot and Shemini Atzeres, it says don't do Malacha, or you have to rest on the first day and on the eighth day, on the first day of Sukkot and on Shemini Atzeres. No one thinks that there's an Isser Malacha on Erev Sukkot, right? So the Gemara says, again, but again, the problem is that the Pasuk says the word Harishon, which would imply that it's referring to the day before. But again, there is no Isser Malacha on Erev Sukkot. So the Gemara says, you're right. Shaini Hasam de Amar Kra Uvayom Hashmini Shabbason Ma Shmini Shmini Dechag Af Rishon Rishon Dechag. The Gemara says a very similar answer to what we said before, that since the Pasuk specifies by Yom Harishon and by Yom Hashmini, so you see from here that, again, Rishon is the first day of Sukkot, and Shmini is the eighth day, referring to Shmini Atzeres, and again, not referring to Erev Sukkot. So then the Gemara says, okay, so then HaRishon Lamali, so then why does the Pasuk even have to say HaRishon? Why couldn't it just say Uvayom Rishon? So the Gemara says, no, Ma'ute Chulo Shomoe, the fact that the Pasuk specifies don't do Malacha by Yom HaRishon was teaching me to exclude Chol HaMoed, that there is no Isser Malacha, at least formally, you know, to the same extent, on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Chulo Shomoed may Rishon Ushmini Nafka. The Gemara says, why do I need this extra word HaRishon to teach me that there's an Isser, in other words, to teach me that there's no Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed? If you look in the Pasuk, it's obvious that there's no Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed, because what does it say? It says, don't do Malacha on the first day and the eighth day. That obviously means that days 2 through 7, there is no Isser Malacha. So it's already implicit in the Pasuk that there's no Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed. Why do I need a separate derivation that there's no Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed? So says the Gemara, Itzrich, Salka Daita Chamina, Hoil de Chasav Rachamana, Uva Yom Hashmini, Vav Mosif Al Inyan Rishon, Da'afilu Bechulu Shol HaMoed, Kamash Malan. The Gemara says, because since the Pasuk says, Uvayom Hashmini, one might have argued that the extra vav in the beginning of the word Uvayom is teaching me that the previous days, days 2 through 7, are in fact Asur in Malacha. Therefore, the word Harishon comes to teach me that it's not true, that really there is no Isur Malacha on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara says, okay, velo lichtov rachamana lo vav velo hey. So why not, in other words, just cut out the vav and cut out the hey. In other words, instead of saying Uvayom Harishon, the Pasuk could have just said Bayom Rishon. Had the Pasuk simply said Bayom Rishon and Bayom Shmini, right? So then again, I would have figured out on my own that on Chol HaMoed there is no Isser Malacha, and I wouldn't require all these other derivations of HaRishon. So the Gemara says, Vesu, and furthermore, Hasam dechsev bayom HaRishon mikra kodesh yihyeh lachem Rishon demei ikara mashma, and the same issue. When it comes to the Isser Malacha on Sukkot, the Torah uses the word HaRishon, which, as we've already pointed out, the word HaRishon implies Erev Sukkot, which we know there is no Isser Malacha on Erev Sukkot. So the Gemara says, so basically, in other words, at the end of this whole Gemara, the Gemara's basic question is, why does the Torah use all these words Rishon and HaRishon, if at the end of the day most of these halachos are either obvious or they seem to be counterintuitive in certain cases? So the Gemara says, you're right. Elahani shlosha Rishon mi boy lelechid the son of Devei Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Devei Rabbi Yishmael, bischar shlosha Rishon, zachu leshlosha Rishon, lahachri zaru shal Esav, lebinyin beis hamikdash v'leshmo shal Mashiach, lahachri zaru shal Esav dechsev ayetze HaRishon ad moni kulo ka'adera seyar, ulebinyin beis hamikdash dechsev kisei chavon marom me Rishon mekom mikdashenu, v'leshmo shal Mashiach dechsev Rishon Litzion, Hinehinam. So basically, Rabbi Yishmael says, you're right, that the reason why the Torah uses the words Rishon and HaRishon three times has nothing at all to do with Pesach, with Sukkot, with Malacha, with Matzah, with Chametz, nothing at all. And it's a completely separate drasha that has to do with the significance of the usage of the word Rishon, which is that it's coming to allude to three things that we're going to get in the future, which is the destruction of the descendants of Esav, the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash, and the fact that Mashiach will be established as the king. Again, the Gemara cites Pesukim from Tanakh where the words Rishon are used in all three of those contexts. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, the fact that Torah uses the word Rishon three times has absolutely nothing at all to do with Pesach. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Rava Amar Mehacha, Lo Sishchad Al Chametz Dam Zivchi, Lo Sishchad Al Pesach Va'adayin Chametz Kaim. Rava has a different source that the Isser de Oraisa of Chametz on Erev Pesach begins at the end of the sixth hour, which is that the Torah and Parshas Mishpatim and Parshas Kisisa juxtaposes the Isser of shechting the Karban Pesach with Chametz. In other words, the Torah says you're not allowed to shecht the Karban Pesach when there is Chametz around. Now, when does the mitzvah of shechting the Karban Pesach begin? Begins right after Chatzos. Really, you know, technically half an hour after that. So the Gemara says, Ve'ema kol chad v'chad ki shachet, Zman shchita marachman. The Gemara says, and don't tell me that it means that the Isser of Chametz begins when each individual person shechts their own personal Karban Pesach, because that would be ridiculous. But rather, it means the Isser of Chametz on Erev Pesach Mida Oraisa begins when the Zman, the earliest Zman for offering the Karban Pesach begins, which is right after Chatzos. And the Gemara in fact says, Tani Nami Hachi, Ach Bayom HaRishon Tashbisu Seor Mibatechem Me Erev Yantif. O Eino Ela Biyantif Atzmo, Talmud Lomar Lo Seshchad Al Chametz Dam Zivchi, Lo Seshchad As HaPesach Va'adayin Chametz Kayim Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. So again, Rabbi Yishmael basically just rephrases what we just said. He says the way that we know that the mitzvah to do bedikas chametz is on erev Pesach and not on the night of Pesach itself. And again, that's when we have to get rid of the chametz. That's because again of this comparison to the fact that the Torah says you're not allowed to shech the karm Pesach when there's chametz around. And of course, we know we shech the karm Pesach on erev Pesach, not on Pesach itself. Then the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva Omer Eino Tzarech. Rabbi Akiva says you don't even need this drasha. He says I have a different source that chametz that the mitzvah of bedikas chametz must be on erev Pesach and not on Pesach itself, because Harehu Omer, because the pasuk says also back in Parshas Bo, Ach Bayom Arishon Tashbisu Seor Mibatechem. So first of all, again, the pasuk that we keep on citing that you have to get rid of chametz on Bayom Harishon, which again we think at this stage means erev Pesach. Uchsev Kol Melacha Lo. The girsa here should be Kol Melacha Lo Yayasevahem. That's the pasuk in Parshas Bo that refers to the Isra Melacha on Yantif. You're not allowed to do Melacha on Yantif. Umatzinu LaHavara Shehi Av Melacha. And we know that Havara, the lighting of fire, is of course a Melacha. So since you're not allowed to light a fire on Yantiv, so therefore when the Torah demands that you get rid of Chametz, it has to be referring to Erev Pesach. Now again, the Gemara is going to show that not all the Tanaim accepted this drasha, but this was how Rabbi Akiva understood it. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Eino Tzarech. Rabbi Yossi says, you don't need that drasha either. He says, I have a different source that the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz, of getting rid of your Chametz, must be on Erev Pesach and not on the first day of Pesach. Harehu Omer, Ach Bayom Harishon Tashbisu Seor Mibatechem, Me Erev Yantiv, O Eina Ela Bi Yantiv, Tamud Lomer, Ach Chilek, the Ibi Yantiv Atzmo Misharei, Ha Iskash Hashbasa Seor La Achilas Chametz, Achilas Chametz, La Achilas Matzah. So once again, Rabbi Yossi is kind of just rephrasing all the things that we quoted on this daf, which is he's saying that the fact that the Torah tells you to get rid of your Chametz, and we have this kind of three-way comparison between the mitzvah of getting rid of your Chametz and the Isser of eating Chametz and the mitzvah of eating Matzah, all of those things indicate that the mitzvah to get rid of your Chametz must be on Erev Pesach and not on Pesach itself. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Shma Minami de Rabbi Akiva class. We can derive three things from the statement of Rabbi Akiva. Again, because remember, Rabbi Akiva is the one who said that Chametz, in other words, he says the proof, the way that we know that that Bedikas Chametz, that getting rid of your Chametz must be Erev Pesach, is because if it was on Pesach itself, that would require you to light a fire, which of course is a Malacha on Yantif. So we can learn three things from the statement of Rabbi Akiva. First of all, Shma Mina, Ein Bir Chametz El Estreifa. This is also, this is a subject to a Machlokas later on, both later in this parak and also in the second parak, between Rabbi Huda and the Chachamim. So Rabbi Akiva sides with Rabbi Huda that the only way in which you can do Bir Chametz is Dafka by lighting a fire, which is what we're used to thinking. But the truth is that Me'ikar Adin, we probably assume like the Chachamim of what's called Hashpasaso Bechol Davar, that technically you don't need to use a fire, you could flush it down the toilet, you could throw it in the wind. That's why, for example, this year, when Erev Pesach is on a Shabbos, so we obviously don't use a fire on Shabbos, so we just flush it down the toilet, or we just, you know, whatever, throw it away. So first of all, you see that Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Yehuda that you must do Sreifa, because if he held otherwise, then you can argue that maybe you can dispose of your Chametz on Yantif itself. Then the Gemara says, Ushma mina havara l'chalik yas. This is also a subject to a machlokas in Maseches Shabbos and Maseches Krisos a little bit, where the Gemara discusses the parameters of the Malacha of Havar. We know that the Torah in Parshas Vayakel says, Lo sivaru ish b'chol moshvosechem b'yom haShabbos. And the question the Gemara in Shabbos is bothered by is, why does the Torah single out the Malacha of Havar? The Torah never specifies any of the other Malachos, with one possible exception when it comes to carrying a Parshas B'Shalach. But by and large, the Torah never really says, right, for example, right, in other words, it never says in the Torah, don't plow on Shabbos, don't plant on Shabbos. It's just assumed. It's including the Isser of Lo Sasa Kol Malacha. So the question is, why does the Torah single out the Malacha of Havara if it's just included in everything else? So this is a Machlokas in the Gemara in Shabbos between Reb Nassan and Reb Yossi. So we pass like Reb Nassan, which is what Reb Akiva is citing, that Havara L'Chalik, which means that Havara is just a paradigm, it's just an example. It's like any other Malacha. The only reason why the Torah singles out Havara, according to Reb Nassan, according to the way that we paskin, is simply because it teaches you that a person is chai of multiple karbanos for every avera that they do, for every individual malacha that they do within one lapse of awareness. We spoke a lot about this back in the seventh parak of Maseches Shabbos. Right? So in other words, for example, let's say a person in one lapse of awareness, let's say lights a fire and plows and plants or whatever, so he has to bring three karbanos, not just one karban. So that's according to Reb Nassan, that's according to the way that we paskin. Reb Yossi, which we do not paskin like, has a very, very mechuda shita, where he says Havara l'lav yatzas, where he assumes that really the reason why the Torah singles out Havara is to teach you that if a person lights a fire on Shabbos, they're not chayav misa for that. According to Rabbi Yossi, Havara is only a lav. You're only chayav malkus for it. You're not chayav misa. That's why the Torah singles it out, in contrast to the other 38 malachos where Rabbi Yossi says you are chayav misa. That's the second derivation according to Rabbi Akiva. And then finally, Yishma mina lo amrinan ho of a hutra Havara l'tzorech, hutra nami shelo l'tzorech. And number three, clearly, Rabbi Akiva denies the principle of hoel. Hoel is a very famous idea which comes up in Maseches Beitzah and later on in Maseches Pesachim also, which basically means that once we're allowing you to do something for the purposes of Yontif, you're also allowed to do them shelo letzorach. So for example, you're allowed to use a pre-existing fire in order, let's say, for example, to cook. As we know, ochel nefesh, of course, is mutter on yontif. So if you subscribe to the principle of Hoel, that would basically mean that, well, once I'm allowed to use a fire to cook, I should be allowed to use a fire to burn my chametz also. Because once we're allowing you to do a malacha with this item for a mutter purpose, you can then use it for any purpose you want. The fact that Rabbi Akiva is saying you're not allowed to burn your chametz on yontif, you must dispose of it on erev yontif, clearly means that he does not subscribe to this principle. Because if he did, he would allow you to burn your chametz on yontif, because again, you're allowed to use a fire for cooking, so presumably you should be allowed to use a fire to dispose of your chametz as well. Okay.